This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to the Wheelhouse.
You can see the confidence build day by day, and there is an electricity to his personality on the field that's really hard to look away from.
Starring Jerry DePoto.
And Jerry DePoto to the plate with a 2-2 pitch to Alex. Swing and a miss. He struck him out on the fastball.
With Aaron Goldsmith.
And now chapter three is, yeah, he's a real ball player. He's an impactful player. He can do a ton for your team, and this is a guy that can really help to solidify a big league lineup.
And Gary Hill Jr.
He seems along those lines where he wants to be great and does everything possible to go get it.
It's time for the Wheelhouse. Here's Aaron.
It is the first Wheelhouse podcast of the 2024 season. Aaron Goldsmith, Gary Hill, and Jerry DePoto. Jerry, we are in the final days of spring training. You're tan as ever. It must be time to go home.
It is. It's go home, you know, not see the sun for a little while, lose all this bronzeness. But we've done what we needed to do in the spring, and I wish we could just bubble wrap the guys before we can get back to Seattle, because that's so many positive things have happened, especially over the second half of the spring.
Yeah, the vibes are like, if vibes are bad in spring training, it's disastrous, right? So let's just start with, like, baseline spring vibes are always well above average, but I feel like Peoria vibes this year are higher than usual. Seems like a great group of guys who are gelling very quickly. What are your impressions?
I think it's the most cohesive team in a clubhouse. The way they get together, the way they work, the way they spend their down hours. You know, there's a lot of them that do things together, and that's very unique. You know, and I don't know why it is that it feels different with this group. We're excited about the talent. We're equally as excited about how the guys seem to fit together, and it's not just us feeling that by looking at our team. It's the team. You know, they feel that way. The players feel that way. I know Scott and the staff believe that, And they're part of it, and that a lot of what's happening in our environment is just, it's, you know, 8 years of practice and setting up the way you want a spring training to run. There is no eyewash. The players work hard. They know when the hours start and when it ends. And I think there's a crispness to our camp that just gets a little bit more refined with each passing year, and this is the best it's been.
Who stood out to you as you watched the spring unfold?
Boy, where should I start? The easy thing, I'll start with the regulars, you know. Mitch Haniger is the best version of Mitch Haniger we've ever seen. And that's saying something. You know, he's been an all-star for us. He's, you know, one of the best outfielders in the history of our organization for the 6 years he was here. But we've never seen this version of him. You know, Oppo tanks. He's the work and the quality of the at-bat, the way he's interacted and led with his teammates has just been a treat. That's one. Mitch Garver, very similar in terms of their focus, their preparation, their personality. He has really fit in well with our group. It also helps that he hits balls off the moon. But, yes. You know, he has been a treat, and I think he is really acclimated to the notion of being a primary DH, you know. And you don't know how people are going to react to it, but he seems to have zero problem with the way you prepare, because it is a little different. Jorge Polanco, we could not have asked for an easier assimilation. You know, both what he's done on the field and what he's brought to our clubhouse. Just well-respected, quiet leadership. There's not a guy in there that doesn't, you know, revere the way he goes about it. Cal Raleigh, just a phenomenal spring in both what he's done physically and the way he's grown, you know, emotionally as a leader in the clubhouse. He's been together from day one, and there's a focus there. JP Crawford has been his usual, you know, energetic self and really turned into, you know, an offensive force last year, and he's carried that over to this spring after a pretty slow start. He has been awesome for the last couple of weeks. Boy, I could keep going. You know, Julio's OPS in 1400, and he's the fourth in the MVP vote, and I just brought him up. You know, he's you know, our pitching is starting to trend. Really like some of the arms that we're seeing in the bullpen. And then if we have another podcast that we could boot up for right after this one, I could talk about the guys on the backfields right now, because that's where I've spent a good deal of my spring. This is the most talent we've ever had in our farm system, and I don't even think it's particularly close.
Really? Even when you compare it to the years where, you know, publications had the Mariners number one?
I think we're on our way back to that, you know, that perch. We have so many talented young teenagers, and you know, it's at every position on the field, and we've never had this kind of position player group. You know, we've had high-impact prospects before. We've had, you know, the top five prospects in the game type guys. This group is just, they're studs. And where we are a year from now is, it's going to be curious. We made a big leap a few years back. I think we went from the 15th or 16th best system to fifth. I think we'll see that leap again, you know, year over year with guys like Colt Emerson and Johnny Farmello and Laz Montes and Ty Pete and Michael Arroyo. And that's not getting to the guys that are at the upper levels, the Jonathan Class A's, Tyler Locklear, Cole Young, you know, guys who have an opportunity, Harry Ford, to play in the big leagues this year. And then the guy that I'm irrationally excited about is Logan Evans, who has truly is as stuffy as any pitcher that has come through our system. And that's saying something in recent years. 23 years old, he's got six pitches, he commands them all, he's sitting on 97, 98 with power sink, and I'm not even sure it's his best pitch. So it's amazing how far he's come year over year, and the fun that's happening on our backfields every day. It's I generally turn right instead of left when I'm leaving in the morning, because it's these guys I'll get to see for 162. The others you only see, you know, in passing, so it's fun.
The first stuffy reference of the wheelhouse this year, which is exciting. Hey, getting back to Mitch Garver, what I find really fascinating, you mentioned he'll be primary DH this year. I do find it fascinating, though, he's acting as a catcher in that he is in the meetings, all the catchers' meetings, breaking down pitching. And we've talked to him. He's really smart
really
when it comes
smart.
To pitching. Like, how valuable is like the production is great, but how valuable is to also have that part of Mitch Garver part of things?
You know, it's one of the things I know that Scott brought up immediately when the spring started. Like, Mitch probably isn't going to catch a lot. Mm-hmm. And, you know, something would have to go really wrong with our catching flow chart for him to, yeah, to be back there very often at all. And we talked about that when we were recruiting him. We doubled down on it when we got here. He wants to be a regular. You know, as a DH, you could envision him getting 500-plus plate appearances. And he has had his fair share of injuries during the course of his career, and it's almost always due to catching. And if we can just alleviate that concern and we get the offensive player on a regular basis, that's exciting. But you don't want to lose his mind for the game. And he has both game calling skill, the experience behind the plate with various different kinds of pitchers and different organizations. And in those meetings, he really brings something different to the dance. And I think it's great for Cal. It's been great for some of our younger catchers. It's been great for Sebi, you know, coming in, being able to see Cal and Mitch, who really excel in this area. And Sebi's gotten up to speed very quickly. And, you know, again, it's about as deep as our catching group has ever been. And if Mitch is there in mind only, and the bat goes out and does what he does as a DH, I think it's good for everybody.
Yeah. I feel the spirit of Mitch Garver I signal the pitch com. What would Mitch Garver do right now?
That'd be awesome if it was his voice.
Yes, we can do that.
That's a great
idea.
Easy.
That's easy. You know, Jerry, one of the only concern point right now in camp, and came a while ago with Santos and Brash both going down, and kind of assessing them week by week and seeing what their availability will be. We know they're not going to be ready for opening day. That means there are two spots open in your bullpen. What has been your process and those that you work with in terms of how you go about deciding who that's going to be? Because there's been, like every camp, there's a number of new relievers who are vying for those positions.
Yeah, you know, I think there have been a trio of guys who've really stood out. And I hope that the opportunity isn't a lengthy one. You know, it's Matt will throw again on Sunday off a mound, and we'll have a better read for what his timing is to return. We're hoping it's later in April. You know, Gregory's probably closer to, you know, May at this point with the setback that he had. But, you know, Gregory's injury is not as ominous long term as it sounds. You know, it's more muscly than anything structural. And, you know, to imagine a time when we have both of those guys back with, you know, Ryan Stanek and Mooney and Gabe Spire and the group that will be returning Sauce, you know, that's exciting. And that makes us a different team. But in the meantime, you know, guys like Colin Snyder, Cody Bolton, and Tyson Miller have really stood out. And they've had good springs. They each do it in a slightly different way. You know, Colin Snyder's a guy we've had our eye on for a while simply because he has real stuff that's never really equated to a lot of, you know, success. And both in run suppression and strikeout rates, he's been a little bit prone to a walk. And, you know, that's kind of where Trent and Woody thrive, is finding ways to help that player get better. And if spring training is any indication, then Colin Snyder is finding his way with our group. He's been great. Cody Bolton has real weapons, you know, fastball, cutter. He's got the breaking ball. He's got an excellent changeup. And he has really thrown the ball well this spring, been up into the high 90s with his fastball. And, you know, what we think is a really quickly developing cutter that's 92, 93 miles an hour to go with an out-pitch changeup that's always been a really, really good pitch. And Tyson Miller has a lot of that kind of lower slot ride type of thing that we do. And, you know, he had some traits that were very easy for our analysts and pitch strategists to identify. And, you know, he also brings some length to the table. He's stretched out. He started games, you know, at the major league level. He started a lot in the minors, you know, and he is the one that's not currently on the 40-man roster, which makes it a little bit more of an uphill climb. But all three, you know, deserve their fair share of consideration as we make those last two spots.
Ryan Stanek, obviously a big addition to your bullpen.
In a lot of ways.
Yes. No, Mariners have faced him a million times. Had you ever spoken to Ryan Stanek before he became a Seattle Mariner?
No. And I have to say, he's an easy hand.
Yes.
He really is. He's such a nice guy to spend time with. And when you see guys from afar, you can't help. You form opinions.
Yes.
He throws 100. You feel like he's snorting and grunting. And you always assume that people's personalities are like that. You know, it's going to be some, you know, Brad the Animal Leslie character. He's a great guy, and he's easy to spend time with, family guy, and, you know, young family. He seems very happy to be a Mariner, and it took him about a half a day to feel like he's been here forever. You know, he fits in with this group, and I can't tell you how many times Pete Woodworth has walked past me, grabbed an arm, patted on the back, you know, whatever it is, like, thank you for signing Ryan Stanek. Because, you know, with Mooney and Brash out, having his, not just his physical presence, but his experiences down in our pen is a really big deal. And, you know, thrilled that he was still available and thrilled that he wanted to come to Seattle.
Jer, a few moments ago, you mentioned the arm slot, and that's how something that's kind of becoming a Mariners thing. How is that happening? Are you just acquiring or developing pitchers who release from a lower slot? I can't imagine you're changing all these guys' slots, or is it a combination? Tell me, walk us through that, because it's really apparent when you study these things.
It's a combination, you know, and Tyson naturally does it. Colin Snyder naturally has, you know, a little bit of a lower slot. We're not opposed to guys who throw from a higher slot, but where we've really made our hay is with that guy who has a little bit of a lower slot. You're able to add that little extra sweep or finish to a breaking ball. And, you know, one of the things we've done well is kind of run fastballs to the top with those guys who have that the previous hand and arm position. We've had success with it. You know, that's what Paul did so well, and others who've come through our system. And, you know, I don't want to say that Tyson Miller is the next Paul Sewald, but he has a lot of the same traits, and you know, he's at that stage in his career where, you know, a little extra drop, a little extra ride, you know, an opportunity in the big leagues that's probably going to come in the bullpen and not as a starter. That's when you might see that little extra velo bump. He commands his slider very well, and, you know, he's picked up a little extra, you know, what I would call horizontal, you know, run to his slider. And That there are a lot of signs that he's doing the thing that pitchers do when they come and work with our pitching people. And, you know, credit to everybody involved. He's had a really nice spring.
Is the slightly lower slot guy, on average, harder for a hitter to pick up, or is it because of what it enables him to do manipulating the ball that makes it harder to hit?
I think it's the latter. It's a combination of those two things. You know, guys who have riding fastballs from a lower slot are really hard to time up. You know, because you're seeing it start, it almost appears that the ball's rising, you know, from that slot. Like it's coming out of the player's chest and it just runs to the top, as opposed to a guy who might throw harder from a more traditional higher slot. You know, now it looks like it's coming down into your barrel, you know, as opposed to having to ride up, you know, to bring your barrel up to meet the ball. It's, you know, that's a little bit more challenging. And it's, you know, I guess the guy who's done it best maybe ever is Max Scherzer, and everybody else falls out in back of it. But, you know, if you go back, well, I guess Walter Johnson might come ahead of Scherzer.
I thought really disrespectful you hadn't brought up the train yet.
But I'll go and try to fix it. You know, it's Dennis Eckersley, guys that have done it. You know, those are not guys that are throwing sinkers. They're out there running four-seamers that tend to ride. And you can do that without throwing 98 and have real impact with your fastball. And that's, you know, this generation of pitcher, you know, I think we're cycling back to sinkers being a popular thing. And, you know, but in the last, let's call it decade, the rush of four-seam fastballs to the top, I think our guys found some nuance with guys who maybe didn't have to throw that hard because they had this lower slot. They were able to run that four-seamer up. And it really, I mean, we've seen how effective it can be. And, you know, it's great when, you know, you're Andres Munoz and you already throw 100.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's an entirely
different
thing.
Teach that.
Yeah. When you can. When you can. Yeah.
Do that.
Jerry, something that's been really apparent as I've listened to guys talk this spring. Let's start with Mitch Haniger. First TV game of the season, which I think was the second game of the year. He got on the Root telecast, did a dugout interview. He just waxed endlessly about how happy he was to be back. And I'm sure you heard these comments. He said that last year when he was in San Francisco early in the season, he was watching the Mariners but had to stop watching M's games because it was too emotional for him to handle. He and his wife wanted to be back here. I'll add to that two more examples. Cal Raleigh was on KJR early this spring training, and he said, he referenced Dan Wilson, and he said, it's a powerful thing being with one team for your whole career. And he said, that's definitely something that I dream of, and I love being here in Seattle. The last one I'll add is Logan Gilbert, who was on Seattle Sports. And he said, he mentioned how he'd just been through the arbitration process for the first time. But he said, yes, absolutely, I would love to be here in Seattle long term. Add to that examples we've already seen. JP signs an extension. Castillo signs the extension like 8 hours after being acquired. And, of course, Julio is in a category all of its own, right? When you start to, like, pool all of those examples together, I mean, these are big dudes, right? Big time. You're your best players, and they're all echoing the same thing. It's a pretty powerful thing. I'm curious, when you hear that wash over your ears, just your initial thoughts, it has to feel incredibly special.
It does. You know, and I think if it's surprising to our listening fan base, it's not really that shocking to us because those players have expressed it to us before. And, you know, and I know particularly at the end of last season, there was a lot of, you know, discord. I guess there wasn't a lot of belief in the harmony that we actually do have internally. And you can add to that guys like Andres Munoz and Dylan Moore who didn't sign, you know, for the Julio deal, but they want to be Mariners. And I think that's an important thing. When we began this version of our roster build back at the end of 2018, this was a goal of ours, was to develop a young core, to invest in our own players and to build continuity and sustainability with our team. And this is how you do it. And I hope, I've said it to Logan, I've said it to Cal, I want them to be Mariners forever. This is our team. That's what it's about, is having those guys. And I think they want to be here. Now, you know, there's the trick of actually finding a number or a length that makes sense for everybody involved. But we want them to be here. They want to be here. We do have, you know, it's a great environment. People love playing in Seattle. And I think you find out when we're out talking to free agents, they don't really know what Seattle's about. When players come and they spend any length of time here, they want to stay. And I wish we could get that same general take for players who've not played in Seattle, but the guys who've been here, it's an earth mover when you want to be here. And I could say the same thing about Matt Brash and George Kirby, and then, like, these guys will talk, you know, Woo Miller. Julio said to me in the off season, he said, I read that we were talking about, you know, our trading our young pitchers. Don't trade them. That's our team. and he's right. It's not just that they're really good at pitching. It's that the team is so cohesive and they feel it. You know, eventually moves are made. You know, you do make moves in the effort to try to get better. But the way this team gets together, the quality of the people and how much they want to play in Seattle is, I think, meaningful.
You know, along those lines, I've had some conversations with some of your young players in camp, and Montes in particular, Fenlin, both talked about Julio being so influential for them. And I'm curious from your vantage point, like, how powerful of an influence is Julio going to be for your younger players in your system, do you think?
He's already that. And, you know, I would say that, you know, along with Cal Raleigh, Julio is the other in our group that has really taken a big step forward in terms of his maturity as a young leader. And it's something Julio wants to do. But the energy, the way he treats the young players, and it's, I'll say this, and, you know, I'm a little biased because I'm here every day and I see it. Our veteran players treat our young players and the prospects who come over like real people, you know? And that wasn't the case, you know, when I was 21 or 23. And you know, when these guys come over, they're treated like they're part of our team. And it comes from JP, and it comes from Mitch Haniger, and it comes from Julio. And when your stars are inviting the young players like that, I mean, Cole Young, Tyler Locklear, it's the right on down to Laz and Colt Emerson and Johnny Farmello. When they come over, they feel like they're a part of the team. And I actually had one of our, you know, assignee, you know, that we brought in as a minor league free agent, said to me during the course of the spring, and it's actually one of the most meaningful things that I've heard this spring. And I've heard some really meaningful things. But he said, I have to say, I've been a number of places, but here they treat me more like a human being than anybody ever has. And that really, I felt great about our people, because if that's the way he feels, then we're doing something right.
Yeah, it is the people. We met with Matt Pierpont for the first time, your pitching coordinator.
Who's now hobbled.
Who just blew his Achilles out. Yeah. And, I mean, Gary and I haven't talked much about this since the interview. We talked to him for, half an hour.
Yeah.
He was probably late for something, especially with how long it takes him to get everywhere now. Like, sure, I'm not just like blowing smoke here. Gary and I have talked to so many of the Matt Pierponts, right? So many people on the minor league side or on the major league side who just aren't common household names. And they're all the same guy. Like, they're all just like such a good dude. Like, such a good guy. Every one of them. They look you in the eye. They converse with you on the record, off the record, on air, without the headsets on. Like, they're so passionate about, like, preaching the good word, right? They're like, they're all in. They all worked for Andy McKay at some point.
That's the common
thread. Or played for him. Yeah. Like, we joked that Andy McKay is the greatest hire in Mariners franchise history. Just all the people that have come from Andy.
It's amazing.
There's truth to it.
I mean, there is something there, right?
There's a lot of truth to it.
And Andy, like, put Andy on the Mount Rushmore of just, like, great people who you want to be around. Like, the vibe, you know, we opened this pod up by talking about, like, the all-time vibes around Peoria right now. But for me, it's like, whether I'm passing Christopher Negron in the hallway or chopping it up with Andy Bissell or telling Scott that Chris Sale's the opening day starter for the Red Sox this year.
Which he's not.
But he may have believed.
Yeah. Like, I'm telling you, man, this isn't just spring training, spin cycle talking. Like, the people in this org are pretty remarkable. Like, just the quality of the human. It does make it for people like Gary and I who want to learn about these people and share their story, and we want to get smarter talking to them. I've never had a bad experience with one of your people. Like, and we're going on whatever it is, 9 years now.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you agree, Garrett? It's really amazing.
I agree 100%. And actually, to tag along those lines is I've been watching Mariners baseball for a long time. And I look at the players this group, your group, is producing. And there's never been anything like it in Mariners history. When you look at, you know, Cal and Logan and all the names we see here and some of the names we see coming, because there was a time where, like, Kyle Seager was the only homegrown guy for a long time who really made a big impact on the major league level. And it's a long way of saying I don't think it's a coincidence is what I'm saying. There's a lot of people behind the scenes that we're lucky enough to get to talk to and bring them to the air from time to time. But there are so many great people doing great work behind the scenes. And I just don't think it's a coincidence for what we're seeing.
I think it's amazing how many of those dirt roads do lead back to Indy.
Yeah, it's true. Can I tell you something? I start all my interviews with these guys by saying, did you ever play for or coach with Andy McKay? And they all say, yes, I did.
As a matter of fact, and in some cases, it's not even a guy that Andy hired. We just naturally gravitate toward people who have these traits. And, you know, I'm really proud of what we've been able to build organizationally. And, you know, Andy has been front and center for all of it. Mm-hmm. You know, I think he was hire number two in my, you know, my tenure here. And virtually all of the good things that have happened in our player development system, in our mental skills department, and, you know, what I think is really an undervalued part of our organization or even the industry are the coaches who are just crushing it on the backfield every day. The guys who may never appear. And, you know, I'll say Tony Arnerich, and I'm going to use Tony as an example. The day that I got to call and offer Tony a major league job, you know, that's a big moment for a guy who never thought he was going to get that opportunity. But when you meet Andy McKay, you know, and you've known him since you were roughly a teenager, all dirt roads lead to Sacramento.
Yes. <Yeah.
laughs> You know, you got a good shot, and Tony does a fabulous job. And, you know, and I think before he asked how much will I be paid or what are the responsibilities, he said, I got to go call my dad.
Really?
And that's the kind of people we have. They want to be here. They want to be involved with this scene. They desperately want to contribute to winning championships. And they really are all awesome people. It sounds cliche to say.
It does.
I like coming to work in the morning. They're great to be around.
It's a good group, man. And it's just like, you know, you're talking earlier about year nine and spring training gets a little crisper. And I think, like, for us who were around the club, we're kind of, you know, we're like satellites. We're just kind of going around, running around. Like, we see the processes becoming more refined, like the people becoming more refined, and people stay, right? The only reason people leave is because they get a promotion that you just can't offer.
Yes.
Right? And it's like, that's any industry. But it's just, to wrap it up, this is a very spring training conversation, right? Yes. Like, we have our Mariners.
Because you see them
we do.
All the
we
time.
We see, like, yeah. We interact. They're all in the food room. They're all in the hallway, yeah. Right? Like, we see them all in all the backfields. But it's just, like, it makes our job so much more enjoyable because we want to talk to these people. They actually, at least for the first time, want to talk to us. And, like, they're eager to share. And it's cool. Like, the collaboration of the group is really neat. Like, we feel that. And we're so much on the outside compared to people in the coaches' rooms. So, like, good job. Good hiring. Like, the monster.com ads are working.
You know, what's funny, I actually just had a conversation this morning where, you know, we're going to have some guests in tomorrow. And, you know, we're talking about what's on the schedule. You've got your morning meeting with the Major League Club. You've got your manager's meeting on the player development side. You've got your staff meeting over there. You've got, you know, from 9:30 until, you know, lunchtime, you're going to have workouts on the backfield. Then you're going to have a menu of games, including two Major League games to go watch if that's what you want to do. But the coolest thing on the schedule is that sometime between 4 and 4:30, there'll be a phase two player plan going on in the upstairs boardroom where you've got analysts and high performance people and mental skills coaches and pitching coaches, hitting coaches and minor league managers sitting in a room, you know, and they're all there talking about whoever it is. You know, we'll say it's it could be Laz. They're talking about Laz, and they're trying to boil it down over four phases of these meetings. What does he do? What makes him special? What can he improve on? And how can we turn this into three focused goals for him this season? And the amount of care, the TLC, the love that goes into those conversations, and how seamlessly these people work together, it's just awesome to watch. And if you have an opportunity to do it, just duck your head in. And you know, they won't change the conversation. They're as genuine as they can possibly be, and our players benefit so much from it. And Levi Stout came back to the Mariners. Almost didn't recognize him day one. You know, he shaved. He looks like a Lululemon model or something. he looks fabulous. And and I wouldn't have recognized him if not for the fact he was wearing red shoes, you know, with his Mariners gear. And we were talking, and he mentioned, you know, that he said this is like the dream scenario for me, was to come back here. And you know, Andy, years ago, you know, we sat down and we put all our thoughts on a table, literally had cards that we laid out on a table, and he turned it into focus points. And that is, you know, for all these years, you know, focus points changes a little bit every year, and it has become like the Bible of what we do. And I think our players really embrace it.
We put some broadcasters up on that board, like Goldsmith, three focus points. Stop talking about names, faces, and caps. Just pay attention to the game, Aaron.
But if you stopped doing that, who would you be?
Yeah, and what would I talk? You'd have to tell me what to talk about then.
We can come up with something.
Okay. I mean, I will say, though, it's working, Jerry. It's working. 80% of the time.
Clear.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Anything in this game that you're doing that often, that well?
Yeah, 80%. Works. You're in the HOF if you do that long enough. Jerry, man, we appreciate it. It has been a really fun camp. It's great getting your insights. And next time we talk, the bell will have rung.
Yeah.
And we'll be into it. So looking forward to next time, man.
Hopefully. You know, we've got opportunity in front of us. Hopefully we go grab it.
It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.